This is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Welcome, everybody. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. The opening drive is brought to you by Cherish. And yes, we are in studio once again. For those of you on the video stream, you'll get a very special version of Dave Wyman today, as he's got his he's got his stepbrother's gear on, the headband, the wristband. We had a
Bob did have his Pablo Cruz shirt on, but he ditched it because it was a schmedium.
It was a schmedium. Dave got me, and it was cutting off the circulation of my tiny head, so I had to take that off. But we did send out, we tweeted out a picture of it. Maura did, and it's out there for you on Twitter. I retweeted it. What are you doing, Jim?
Oh, I was going to try and one up Dave because I'm making a fashion statement.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Is Jim not getting enough attention?
No, okay, he wants some attention.
Yeah, that's what I'm always concerned about. Is getting
he wants to shoehorn in some Minshew love. Jeez, so we'll get into that. We'll get into why he's so excited with his Minshew jersey on.
Dave's worried about my
that clothing.
Yeah, the clothing that I threw at you.
I don't know where it's been. Yeah. Wipe it off. Wipe it down, Bob. Wipe it down.
Knock it down.
Coming up, we're going to speak to Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Give us some insight into the newest acquisition for your Seattle Seahawks. Well, actually, not the newest. The newest is the name that everybody's familiar with. Bruce Irvin has
so
been
excited.
Signed by your Seattle Seahawks. So we'll get into that. But Ray will join us to talk about B.J. Finney, their new offensive lineman, see what the Seahawks are getting in that deal. We'll talk to John Clayton at 4 o'clock. And then Joe Fan from... what is he from? NBC Sports Northwest. Yeah, he's going to join us at 5 o'clock. So we'll see if anything happens between now and then. But a lot to cover in the world of the NFL as everybody else is just dealing with staying indoors and not touching things and washing their hands and all that good stuff. Meanwhile, the NFL is making, here's something pretty cool. The NFL is making access to Game Pass free right now.
What?
So, how about that?
I paid $100 for that.
I don't think you're going to get a refund.
It's not cool, man.
Not cool.
Paid $100.
Well, as a prominent user of it, tell people what they're in store for.
NFL Rewind. You can watch pretty much any game. You can go back. I'm pretty sure you can go back. I'm not sure how many years you can go, but you can get four different, I guess there's three different kinds. You can get the full broadcast. You can get the condensed broadcast. Or, as I would recommend, you get the radio call. You can get the radio call as well. But I don't think that there's video on that. And then there's coaches film, which is the all 22 basically. And the best, most useful thing of that is, and this is how I used to watch all of my film. I mean, you really can't see as much from the sideline as you can. As far as the running game, it's hard to tell distances, you know, downfield, but you see all of the, you know, the blocking combinations and everything. You get your reads, everything, and that's just how I used to look at the game. I was inside and, you know, looking at the guards first and then the running backs and the quarterback, and so you get that view too. And that's basically, it's not the same thing that the players get because they have some kind of a system now where I found the other day a VHS tape of cut-ups where somebody recorded certain plays. So it was like two back plays or, you know, split back plays or I back plays or, you know, third and 10 and, you know, with this personnel, whatever. They used to have to physically, you know, record those onto a VHS tape so you could take it home and watch it. And I had three or four of those tapes that are just old game film of somebody we were getting ready to play. But now they have, I think, a computer setup where you can put in all kinds, and I want to say it was either Trey Flowers or Bradley McDougal.
I think it was Trey. He brought down, he had the iPad.
He had the pad.
Basically anything you could imagine you'd want to see.
Right. I think he put in Richard Sherman
interceptions
or something, and it would just pop up. So
how cool is that?
It is amazing. And I'm on the plane on the way back. The players now, they get an iPad, and the IT guys work their tails off. The first guy to get it, of course, is Schneider. They bring that to him on the bus. You know, I'm sure Pete Carroll. But then you see the players. And by the time they land, they've already looked at the entire game, and they know what happened. Because I can tell you this, it's hard to know what's going on during a game. I mean, there are things that happen. It happens fast. Every play is like an explosion of activity. and you don't know what happened. And then you see the film, you're like, oh, that's the guy that was blocking me.
Yeah.
You know, so now they can take pictures. But as far as, you know, the technology goes, it's amazing what players have access to now.
Well, we just did an awesome commercial for NFL Game
Pass. Yeah, we did.
I was just, sorry about that. I should say you
did. Got a little fired up.
But you can get the All 22 on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's technically what they call it, but you get sideline and end zone.
Wow.
And in the end zone, you don't see, sometimes the receivers are taken out a little bit. It's more about, you know, looking at the box, basically, but it's good.
By the way, I should tell you, we've got like a record number of people on the video stream right now, checking you out in all of your glory.
Well, here, I'll show this to the video stream. I had like a whole storyboard written out, basically, of when Bob and I were going to be stepbrothers down in Arizona.
It made me so happy.
He was like Scorsese. He had this thing laid out. There was going to be a script.
He wanted me to come in and curse at you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's, hey, I'm Bob. And he says, hey, I'm Dave. But you have to call me Dragon. And then Bob says, you have to call me Nighthawk.
And Jim's going, I don't get any of this.
Then I'm taking him through a walking tour, you know, telling you, so basic rules of the house, any food you would like, put your name on it or it'll be thrown out.
By me.
This house was built in 1982 by Joe Sellers, the state champion coach of the Worcester High School, Nevada state champions.
Did Shannon have a role?
Shannon?
Shannon Dreher?
No, it was just going to be me, Bob, and Maura. Maura was going to be the adult. And I was going to make Maura swear because it's one of the funniest things that happens at the station
when
here.
When she swears.
And it's very rare when she does, but when she does, it always makes me laugh.
It has impact. So
it's usually because of one person we won't mention. They're not on this show.
Oh, so good.
Yes, you've said enough, Maura.
Yeah. So you can check out Dave's Get Up if you're on 710sports.com. You just click on Watch Live. You got the video stream happening right now, and you can get in on the chat as well. We may be this may be the last time we're in here for a while because we're getting the gear, gathering the gear to potentially start broadcasting from home tomorrow.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, we all went through that before the show today with Brenna downstairs helping us out, and it seems like it's going to be maybe a seamless transition. We shall see.
I'll say in full transparency, my biggest concern was you getting hooked up.
Why?
Because yesterday you asked me how to turn the computer on.
I did.
So the idea of setting up a mixer box and plugging it into your computer, mic.
Yeah, but I've got two 15-year-olds at home.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I got kids at home. I want to tell you something funny that happened. I'll give myself up on this. I was down talking to Brenna Hutchison, who does an awesome job setting us all up. And she's like, at the end, you have to log out. Okay? You have to log out at the end. Then she said another time, you just told me three times. You need to tell Jim six times.
So no!
Hold on. I'm not done with the story yet.
Go ahead.
And she's like, yeah, I know. And then you know what I did? I closed the damn computer without logging out.
Log out.
Yeah. So I jinxed myself, but yeah, you have to log out.
Well,
did you
that.
Write things down?
Yeah, see, I took notes down. That's while good. Brenna was showing me what to do. Yeah, log out, very important in bold letters. Yeah,
so it's going to be an adventure, guys. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because it could be seamless and will sound like we're here, or it could be a train wreck and you're going to just absorb every minute of it.
And no video stream, so we can pretty much do whatever we want.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. So, yeah, enjoy the video that's there now at 710sports.com.
Just so you know, I'm going to be doing the show in my tidy whities and nothing else. And this headband and the wristbands.
I think there's a good chance you're going to hear our dogs in the background, or at least mine. Frank will bark. If he hears a voice outside, if somebody walks by and you can just hear people talking, he just immediately starts barking, going crazy.
Yeah. Hoover barks whenever he's wants food. You know, which is always followed by me going, shut up!
It's going to be...
So you're going to hear that.
It's going to be a dynamite broadcast. I tell you what, starting tomorrow, hopefully, if everything goes well, we'll be from the safety of our own home. But as we said at the beginning of the segment, Ian Rapoport initially reporting that the Seahawks are bringing back Bruce Irvin. No word on the contract details yet. Had 8.5 sacks in 13 games last year. Jim, you were excited when I told you that. You were very excited.
Yeah, I like the idea of Bruce Irvin coming back, and I just wondered how it would impact a possible Clowney signing, and you reassured me that it wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I'm taking your word for it on that one. I have no idea. We haven't gotten the contract particulars on Bruce Irvin. What would you think it is, Dave? Like 4 or 5 million, 6 million, somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yeah, didn't he make that last year?
Maybe a bunch of incentives of some sort.
Yeah, maybe. 4 or 5, yeah. This is really exciting. He sacked Russell Wilson last year, one of those sacks, but Yeah, I love Bruce. I just think his versatility is fantastic. I mean, he can play linebacker. He doesn't want to, but he can play linebacker. And, you know, he's always had a good attitude. Was there any problem with him? The only thing with him, he was like Justin Coleman. At the end, you couldn't pay him. There's no way. They were going to have to pony up like $9 million a year for him, which was a lot at that time. And you just couldn't do it. And just like Justin Coleman last year. So here's how I feel. If they're able to get Clowney, and the further this thing goes with Clowney, the cheaper I think he becomes. Some people think he might be more, you know, because he's basically the one left.
Yeah, I mean, the guys we want, I mean, we both wanted Fowler.
Fowler.
He's off the market. That deal bummed me out.
He went to Atlanta.
Yeah. I think 3 years, $48 million, if I'm not mistaken, and that's the guy, said. That's the guy I wanted.
Well, and look,
in addition to Clowney, by the way, not instead of.
See, and I think would this be enough? I mean, they signed Jaron Reed. You know, you're counting on guys to get better, and then I went through and looked at some sack totals last year. I looked at the sack totals of every Seahawk team since 1976.
Jeez,
you know, you went that far back?
Yeah, in 2005.
There's nowhere to go, Jim. He's got a lot of time at home.
Yeah, exactly. But in 2005, they were number one in the NFL in sacks with 50.
In 05.
05, yeah, and that was the year with, you know, Matt Hasselbeck, and it was all about Walter Jones and Steve Hutchison and that whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'd be pretty comfortable. There's a couple of times where they had either 28, I think 27 is the least sacks that they've ever had in a season since 1976. But there's been a few times where they've had 28. And, you know, some of the numbers, which I'll go through it later, but they're kind of interesting. But to me, if you have Jaron Reed, and I just wrote an article about Reed, a post on 710sports.com about, you know, basically why I think that they should have. I don't think it's that much money for Reed. Now that we're looking at it, it's only like $1.5 million off of what pretty much everybody said. I'm not going above $10 million. Anybody that's texting, not that they matter and not that we matter, but you know, it's whatever the team wants to pay him. Right. And they just want $1.5 million per year over that. Plus he's just a good football player. So, you know, I said in the article, look, I know I've said before, don't pay those inside guys, but if you watch the film with him, he is a really good football player, and he's now I know you're going to bring up that the defense wasn't good, but they just didn't play together. But
is that what it was, that they weren't cohesive, or was it just lack of ability? I mean,
well, and I think also they
played so soft, but that was seemed like fear. It seemed like we don't trust our secondary, so we got to have everybody back way off.
Well, I'm not ripping the coaches, but yeah, it was coaching.
Yeah, but Jim is.
Jim is right. No. I don't. I mean, the biggest thing they could have done is do something with Ken Norton, but.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, look, I would just say this. I thought they coached to the ability that they had. So they did play soft. We talked to Jaron Reed and after the San Francisco game, and it's like, what was the difference? He goes, they finally turned us loose. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And it just means being more aggressive, and they just weren't as aggressive. So, yeah, I thought it was more about that than it was about the individual talent. But also, you know, you're going to get guys are going to improve, and maybe L.J. Collier doesn't explode onto the scene, but what if he gets three sacks?
I think that's fair.
I kind of compared him to Rasheem Green.
Yeah, that's what I expect from an interior guy. I never expected 10.5 from Reed. That was, to me, I said it that year, that's an aberration. I didn't go into last season and go, well, he's there you go, that's the standard for him. That's not a fair standard for a defensive tackle, interior guy. But I think 3 or 4.
Well, what did the Seahawks get in the playoffs? Like 10 sacks?
Yeah.
They had 7 in Philadelphia. Yeah. And I think they had a couple in Green Bay, a couple 3. So, you know, that started to get fixed a little bit. But, yeah, it's just, to me, with Bruce Irvin, if you can get Clowney to go along with him, is that enough? Is that the other piece that you're looking for?
If the other guys step up, then you – I mean, I just don't know what's a fair expectation in terms of step up. What does that mean, right? Collier, we say, all right, if he can give you 3 or 4, Rasheem Green, can he give you 6 or 7? Is that fair? Is that too low? I don't know what.
I think that's fair. 6 or 7 from Rasheem Green. If you're looking at, he led the team with 4 this year, and so you would think that maybe he could get up to 6.
Fair number, Dave.
I mean, yeah, and the total number, it's been an average of like 39 or 40. You know, since Pete has gotten here, and I'm just looking at some of the totals. Don't just blow your hair back or anything. I mean, 2012, they had 36 sacks, right? I mean, nobody's blowing my hair back right now, not with this headband.
No, it's being held in place with that cool headband.
Yeah. 2011, they had 33 sacks. you know, 42, 43 is the most that they've had in recent, well, I should say 2013, they had 44. So the year they won the Super Bowl, and they were number 8 in the NFL. So it's not like they were leading the pack or anything, but, you know, but I also wrote down who was the leader that year. And man, you know, the Chicago Bears in 1984 got 72 sacks.
Goodness.
And then a couple years later in 87, they got 70. So
in 84, they had 72, and the 85 Bears, isn't that the team that we always talk about, the defense?
Yeah.
You couldn't move against them.
Yeah, but they didn't lead the league that year. The Giants had 68 sacks. So it just looks like the sack totals just in general have gone down league-wide a little bit. You know, a lot of times the team that leads the league is getting 48 sacks. But, you know, I just figure, hey, look, if you can get a couple extra out of LJ Collier, you know, maybe Bruce Irvin brings you, you know, 5 or 6. Maybe you get Clowney and he gets 8 or 9 and they kind of piece it together. You know, it was 28 last year and it was really bad. The bad thing about it was second worst. The worst team was Miami. And everybody was like, if you're anywhere close to Miami, you're not doing very well. So I think, to me, with Irvin, you got Reed locked up. You've got for a couple years, and I like the term of that deal as far as 2 years, because it's kind of a prove it deal still
right.
with him, and it's good for him too because he can still get on the market in his 20s. I think he'll be 29, but you know he'll get a chance to have another deal. So you kind of put him on, hey, you're on a 2 year deal here. Let's see what you can do. You bring in Irvin, you've got Clowney, you get improvement from Collier. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I feel like with Irvin and Clowney, that's enough for me anyway.
Well, if they don't get Clowney, what do you think about these rumors that Curtis Rogers is behind about Ngakoue perhaps being at SeaTac Airport? And we heard about
did you
a
see
trade
the
rumor involving him. I did see the picture.
How do you determine which airport that is by that picture? It's a picture of a chair.
It is. There's carpet.
Are the chairs
there's
at
carpet,
SeaTac
too.
Really unique and different than all other airports?
But there's carpet.
Is it the only airport that has carpet?
I'm going with, he's my icon source.
Oh, for the love of God. and you're going to be about as accurate as Cowherd is.
Well, I mean, there were rumors about Ngakoue a week or two ago. The Seahawks, who's that guy, Tony Pauline or something?
Yeah, I hope he's right.
I don't
right.
care about Tony Pauline. Curtis Rogers, a kid from Kent on Twitter.
I hope he's right, but to say that based on a picture of a chair.
The only thing I was thinking... The only thing I was thinking is that I don't think players are supposed to be traveling.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They cut the whole thing down. They can't even get physicals now.
So that flies in the face of it. But, right. you know, outside of that, looks good.
I'm sorry, but every single airport in America is carpeted.
And have
just different designs.
Well, is there like a shag carpet or something that would be?
Does it spell out Seattle on there somewhere? Is there a Seattle emblem somewhere?
20 years ago, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be getting in my Ridgeline and heading out to SeaTac and then taking that photo that Ngakoue posted and checking the carpet at SeaTac. But 20 years later, I'm not that interested.
You would be a sleuth, man. By the way, I didn't even realize this. I'm looking at Bruce Irvin's career numbers. Last year was a career high in sacks for him in 13 games. How about that?
Amazing.
He's had a couple of seasons with 8. His first season with Seattle, he had 8. And then he had 8 in Oakland in 2017. 8.5 last year
and a half.
In 13 games.
So he doubled the number one guy on the Seahawks. And
then
Bob Condotta, Seattle Times, noted that he had 16 quarterback hits. Again, another number more than any other Seahawk.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, Bruce Irvin coming back, and he still turns 33, not until November. So don't you think he'd get another year or two or maybe even 3 out of Bruce Irvin? We see these guys. We see pass rushers that are effective into their, into 33, 34, 35 territory.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with signing. We still haven't seen the details on it in terms of the money. I can't imagine it's huge. I don't think it's a massive commitment. I don't think it's got any impact on what they do with Clowney. I think they've budgeted what they're going to be able to spend. I think they've got that number. Here's what we can do, and here's what we can do outside of that. So maybe they're working a deal for Ngakoue. Maybe they're talking to Judon. I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scenes. I'm hoping something like that. The Fowler news just really bummed me out. I couldn't tell you why I'm so high on him. I just like what he does. I don't think he's a superstar, but I think he's a really good player that would have fit in what they do here.
Well, it's because you've watched the Rams games over the last few years. I mean, he just – and then you look at his highlights. I mean, he is one of those quick twitch edge type of guys. I think he's got some ferocity to him. He's kind of got some nasty to him. And, yeah, I would have liked to have seen that here, but – what's Atlanta doing trying to get him? I mean, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. What are they doing? I never know what they're doing.
The hell, why don't they let the good?
I think Dan Quinn's trying to go places.
Yeah, maybe. Let the good teams have a crack at them, you know?
Guys, we don't mean to take up the talent that's not going to be of any use to us because we're terrible. So we'll let you have them all.
I love Quinny, though. I love Dan Quinn. He turned it around there for those players, and those players all went to bat for him.
They love him.
Julio Jones, everything. So nothing but the best for Quinn.
All right, let's take two.
It's time to take two. Brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at Fife.
Take two.
Russell Wilson and Sierra are donating 1 million meals to Seattle Food Lifeline to help support families in need during this coronavirus outbreak.
It's awesome.
Here we go.
If there's a positive to this madness that's going on, is seeing the generosity of those who are in a position to really have an impact. And even those that, you know, listen, you got people out there doing what they can on a much smaller level, but they're chipping in different ways. So you really see the best in a lot of people in situations like this. And that's pretty cool.
Well, we talked about this, that these competitive athletes, you know, they're not going to be outdone, right? And it's not like they're one-upping each other. It's just that...
I hope they are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all going to be for the right reasons. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I heard somebody criticizing... Who was it? Was it Zion Williamson when he made his... You know, his story came out, and, why did it have to be public? And they're just self-serving. I'm just thinking, are you serious, man? The end result is still the same. I don't care what their motivation is.
Well,
I doubt
that he publicized it himself.
Well, no, I hope they did.
Well, even if they did, it doesn't matter.
Well, but to me, I'm hoping the egos come into play, that another athlete would look at that and go, you know, man, look at all the praise he's getting. I want that praise. I don't care if it's selfish. I don't care if they're doing it just to glorify themselves, because somebody will still benefit. There's still a benefit to it. So what their motivation is doesn't mean much to me.
That's fantastic. What Russell and Sierra came up with there. A million
awesome.
Meals?
Awesome.
And the news Jim's excited for. Nick Foles has been traded to the Chicago Bears, leaving Gardner Minshew in line to be the Jacksonville Jaguars starter this season.
This is when you should have ripped the shirt off.
Yeah, I was going to wait.
Gardner Minshew mania.
Yeah, I was going to wait until Clayton came on at 4. But no,
is he going to be the starter there?
I would think so.
Who else do they
have? I guess Jacksonville just looked at it and thought, boy, the difference between Minshew and Foles, salary wise and ability wise. Okay, let's just go with Minshew and let's let it rip. I love it. Maybe they'll bring somebody else in to compete with Minshew, but it seems like they're comfortable with him being the number one guy going ahead.
Is he your favorite Coug of all time?
No.
Do you own any other Coug jerseys?
I've got a Ryan Leaf jersey at home.
Who's your favorite Coug of all time?
Favorite Coug of all time, probably it was Jason Gesser for the longest time until some of the difficulties that he had over in Pullman.
He changed your mind a bit.
But, yeah.
He had some difficulties.
Yes, yes, he did.
That's a kind way of putting it.
Yeah, what was the phrase that you had yesterday? Oh, was it?
Poorly received.
His advances were poorly received.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Very much so.
Well, congrats to Minshew and... Boy, the Bears just aren't that high on Trubisky anymore, are they?
No.
They were rumored to be interested in how many different quarterbacks?
What pick was he, like fourth
they
overall?
Traded up. They moved up to get Trubisky.
Oh, my goodness. What a mess.
Man. All right. So there you go. Bit of news for you. Coming up, Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's going to join us, give us some background on the Seahawks' new O-lineman, B.J. Finney. That's coming up. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Well, the Seahawks bring in a new face to the offensive line room, and a guy who can give us a little bit of insight into who B.J. Finney is. Is with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. He writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you?
Well, we're good. We saw the signing, and the Seahawks are a team that definitely needs help on the O-line. And then we saw the name B.J. Finney and said, "Who's that?" Yeah, I mean, he's not a household name by any stretch across the league. But I'm guessing you've got some insight on him. What kind of player did they get?
No, listen, B.J. Finney was a really, really good backup for the Steelers here over the last 5 years. He made it onto the roster in 2015 as an undrafted free agent, and he was really Mr. Versatile. He could play left guard. He could play center. He could play right guard. And interestingly, Ramon Foster, the longtime starter at left guard, retired recently, but Ramon's had issues with injuries and stuff the last couple of years. And when BJ has stepped in for him, the Steelers have an 11-2 record, and their rushing stats go way, way up. So for whatever reason, the Steelers didn't view him as a longtime starter. I'm not sure how the Seahawks view him, but at the very least, they got a really, really good interior backup in BJ.
Yeah, Ray, and I saw it looks like he had about 13, 14 starts over a four-year period. What's he played the most at what position?
Guard, most specifically left guard. He's had a few starts in there for David DeCastro. He's filled in a few times for Marquise Pouncey, the center. But by and large, those have been starts for Ramon Foster. And as I mentioned, he did really, really well. There was a game up in Buffalo a couple of years ago. Le'Veon Bell had over 200 yards. Just whenever BJ was called upon, they didn't miss a beat with their running game. I will tell you, I think the writing was on the wall for BJ in the middle of the season. Foster missed the game, I think, with a concussion against the Rams, and they were playing, of course, facing Aaron Donald that week. And they moved right tackle Matt Filer inside to left guard, and then they started a second-year player at tackle. So maybe athleticism, you're going to be facing Donald twice a year now. Maybe the athleticism isn't there for BJ, but really, overall, you're getting a really, really solid player, four- or five-year contributor here for the Steelers on some very, very good teams.
Well, and it sounds like Finney might be have a lot of leadership traits, and I'm just basing that on him being team captain three times when he was in college at Kansas State.
Yeah, and just a really good guy in the locker room, too. Filer is a guy who really took the same path as BJ Finney did. He's an undrafted free agent who came along a year later, and ultimately he's off the roster. But, BJ was a mentor to guys like that. Showed the guys who were young and coming up how to be a pro. And listen, the Steelers have done a really, really good job of developing undrafted linemen over the years. They did it with Filer, they did it with Finney. Chris Hubbard, who signed with the Browns a couple of years ago, he was an undrafted guy out of UAB. So, hopefully for the Seahawks' sake, they got a good offensive line coach, and I know they do. They'll continue to get more out of BJ, but he's just one of these unsung guys, puts his head down, doesn't say a lot, but he's been a really, really effective football player for the Steelers.
There's a chance here in Seattle that he would take over at left guard with Mike Iupati being a free agent, but you look at the center situation, they've got Joey Hunt, Ethan Posick as candidates there, and Justin Britt, the starter, returning from an ACL injury. Do you see that Finney slotting in there and he could just take over and the Seahawks wouldn't miss a beat if he were the new starting center?
I would say I like him more as a guard than I do a center, and maybe that's just because I've seen him more at guard. The Steelers do a lot of pulling. Like, Pouncey's one of the most athletic centers in the league, and BJ could do that, but he couldn't do it as well as Pouncey. So I think he'd be a perfect guard. You just mentioned your situation out there. Seems like they can go a bunch of different directions. He could play guard or center there. If you're asking me, I think he's a better guard than a center, but he's more than a capable center. I think he'll do well in either position there for the Seahawks.
What's his, the Seahawks have two guards, or I guess Iupati's a free agent, so they don't have him. But with DJ Fluker, two big guys who have injury histories, you're not going to get 16 games out of them. What's the durability like for BJ?
Really good. I mean, he's a guy who he's been nicked up here, but I don't remember him, missing a lot of games. Just a really big, sturdy guy, a strong guy. He had to come up the hard way. He had to earn his way onto the team. You could tell he loves the weight room. Obviously not a great athlete. I don't even know if he got invited to the combine his senior year. But he's just old school offensive lineman. Knows how to play smart. I should mention, he played for Mike Munchak. Mike Munchak is now in Denver. He moved out there for family reasons. But Munchak loved this guy. I mean, if Munchak is one of the top O-line coaches in the league, if you know he likes Finney, I think the Seahawks will like him too.
Yeah, that's a great endorsement. Hey, Ray, we were out there week two. I believe it was, and you guys were coming off a stinker of a game, then kind of rallied without Ben Roethlisberger, and with the new rules, you guys would have been in the playoffs, I think, you know, with the extra guy. But tell us a little bit real quick. By the way, Keith Butler is a buddy of mine, former teammate. He's doing such a great job with that defense. And if you can get Roethlisberger healthy, you know, how far away is he from that? You guys can definitely be a contender with that defense.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, Keith. That defense returned to top form. I think they were top five across the board, total defense, pass defense, and scoring defense. I mean, they're one of the best defenses in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think if, you know, Ben doesn't have to come back and be the guy he was 3 years ago when they were 13-3, but he could just, you know, be a representative quarterback, and maybe they'll hand the ball off a little bit more. They were 8-8 with their four-string guy last year. So you would figure with seven teams on making it from each conference, you would figure the Steelers are going to be in that mix again. And, you know, it'll be an interesting season. I know there's a lot of question marks coming off an elbow injury, but I agree with you guys. I think if Ben is good again, I think the Steelers are going to be contenders again in the AFC.
Hey, Ray, I'm an old newspaper guy who converted over to radio, and I'm just wondering what it was like for you. It's a random question, but what was it like being in Cleveland for that Myles Garrett-Mason Rudolph game last year?
Crazy. Kind of like the playoff game between the Steelers and Bengals with, you know, Burfict and Antonio Brown a couple of years ago. I mean, just two of the craziest things I've ever seen in football. And, you know, I was a little bit surprised that Myles Garrett was reinstated, just the timing of it. I thought they could have, you know, let that hang out there a little bit longer, maybe him think about, you know, what he did a little bit longer. You know, but it is what it is. It's going to be a story, that first game, the Steelers and the Browns play, whenever that is. And then I think it'll die off after that. But just a really, really strange circumstance, and I'm sure, you know, one that Myles Garrett and the Browns, you know, would rather forget about.
Hey, Ray, I don't know Mike Tomlin, but he's always been one of my favorites, just based on the things that he says. Well, and even putting anybody that can put up with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, my God, on the same team, you got to admire that guy.
Especially Brown. Yeah. Especially Brown, believe me, he was a handful.
Well, and by the way, did you guys hear rumblings of that? We never really heard that out here about either of those guys, and seeing who Brown is now, it makes you really appreciate Tomlin. Was that sort of a known fact that he was a disruptive character out there?
A lot of it was behind the scenes. I mean, I think it was the week before the AFC Championship game in 16, after they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, there was the whole Facebook Live thing. It was just a huge distraction before the AFC Championship game. There was other stuff that happened before that, but it was all kind of, they kept it in-house. And, you know, people around here sort of knew he was a quirky guy. You know, he didn't necessarily live by the same rules that others on the team did, but they dealt with it because he was such a productive player. You know, listen, things boiled to the point they did, you know, the big blow up, and then it was all downhill from there. But even in that situation, even though stars have different sets of rules, you know, I thought Tomlin did a pretty decent job of handling him the way he did. When you look at what happened with the Raiders, never even played a game for him. I don't know how much money they paid him. He never played a down for them. And then Bill Belichick thinks, I could handle him. And he plays, what, two or three games out there, and they got to get rid of him. So, really, when you look at it overall, I mean, Tomlin, you mentioned that Bell Brown, you know, he's done a pretty good job under some difficult circumstances, you know, dealing with superstars.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has been our guest here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. Ray, thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Anytime. Appreciate it.
There you go. A little closer look at B.J. Finney, the newest O-lineman for the Seahawks team. Coming up, Governor Jay Inslee just spoke about some of the new steps to limit the coronavirus impact. We'll get the latest from our sister station, Cairo 97.3 FM. Cairo Knights' Aaron Mason will join us next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Well, every day we've been bringing in a different voice from our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM, to give us a little insight and bring us up to speed on exactly what the latest impact of the coronavirus is here locally. And joining us now from Cairo Knights, our buddy Aaron Mason.
What's going on, man? What's up, fellas? Hey, thanks for having me.
First time in the sports studio? Or no?
First time on this show. I was on Tom, Jake, and Stacey a couple days ago.
So you warmed up there.
That's right. Now I'm ready for the big time.
That was like the C team. Stepping up to the A team.
This is practice squad.
This is big time now.
Yes,
right?
Sir. I don't know.
Just joking.
Well, bring us up to speed. I know you get to sit through all the press conferences. I know Trump spoke earlier. Mm-hmm. Inslee is maybe still speaking. What's your takeaway from both?
Yeah. So Trump talked today, and he basically mentioned a couple things. A lot of what's happening today is in response to people's questions about economic relief. What are we going to do about the economy? We've sort of gotten instructions so far about how to go about our daily lives, try and keep some social distancing, washing our hands, no more big gatherings, that kind of stuff. But there's still a lot of questions about the economy. So Trump talked about how he's going to deploy the Defense Production Act, which will steer production by private companies to things like masks and ventilators as we need those, because our healthcare system is woefully unprepared for this. And if the numbers get too big, then it's going to be completely overwhelmed, and that's bad news for everybody. So it's almost like wartime when you change a factory's production. They used to make soup cans, and now they make bombs. It's a little bit like that, but for healthcare supplies. And then more locally, Governor Inslee was just talking about how there's a lot of people out of jobs right now, especially if you work in the service industry. Restaurants have shut down. There's probably, I would guess, tens of thousands of people who suddenly have found themselves unemployed and unable to pay their rent. So Inslee is instituting a 30-day moratorium on evictions for residential tenants, so nobody has to freak out about not being able to pay their rent right away. We're going to try and figure something out there. At least for the next month, yeah. Yeah. This is all – I mean, as this all comes out, we're sort of making these short-term plans, but this is not going to be a short-term event. It's going to last for quite some time. So I think we're just trying to address things as they hit us and then hopefully build up on top of what works and then scrap what doesn't. Inslee also said if you are unemployed, he's waiving the 1 week wait period for unemployment, which is good news. And that's retroactive back to March 8th. So if you're someone who's in that situation, get online, try to apply for unemployment. The system's been crashing, I've heard from friends. It's a little bit complicated, but it's there. And then finally, he's going to release up to $5 million in micro grants to small businesses to try and just keep them afloat, keep them moving, because, it's the other side of that is pretty bad news. We want to keep people employed. That's really important.
Anybody going out to places other than, like, Safeway? Or I went into Safeway over the weekend, and it was pretty normal. I mean,
was it
a whole bunch of people? Their lady was restocking the toilet paper, but that's the thing that's well, we'll talk about the toilet paper is ridiculous.
People need to chill out with that. Seriously,
yeah. To me it's immoral. I mean, you're hoarding things that people need. I think stores should have a limit on how many packages of toilet paper you're allowed to buy, because it's
probably
absurd.
Coming at some point.
And it steers panic. You see these pictures on social media of store shelves empty, and so that makes people go, oh, I got to get out to the store and buy all this stuff. And then that just is a feedback loop of awfulness. And what we really need right now is to remember this, that this is a very serious situation, but it's not worth panicking over. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. We may not look like we did, when we come out of this, things may not look like they did before we got involved in this situation, but we'll be okay. We'll manage. Just don't panic and do what you can do.
Aaron, I'm looking at this story right now from CNN. The Trump administration is making contingency plans for a pandemic that could stretch up to 18 months or longer and could include multiple waves of illness.
Yeah.
And you were saying that.
Yeah. So I think the timeline we're looking at here is probably around 18 months. And I think that because there was just a woman up at UW who was the first human test patient for a vaccine. And vaccine is the important thing here. That's what we don't have for this. There is no treatment. So all we can do are these social measures we've been taking. Now, part of that vaccine trial means now that she has it, they have to observe her for 14 months to make sure that there are no ill effects. Because if they make a vaccine and then give it out to everybody and there's a problem with it, well, that's worse than the coronavirus, right?
Right.
So we're going to be monitoring her for 14 months. And then after that 14-month period, then there's the go-ahead to sort of start making this vaccine. And that's probably going to take somewhere around 4 months, people are saying. So in the meantime, if we can flatten the curve, they say, if we can just keep things from spreading out of control, which is very possible, it's very much within our capabilities, then we don't overwhelm the healthcare system. Then you start to see the numbers go down a little bit. Now, if we call it quits and we relax on everything for too long, cases are going to go back up.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've heard is there could be periods of 2 months on, 1 month off. And maybe they stagger cities. Maybe they do it so it's not everybody all at once. But there are some pressure relief valves that are possible in this situation.
He is Aaron Mason of Cairo Knights. You're on at 7 p.m., right?
Yep, 7 to 10.
7 to 10 on our sister station, 97.3 FM. Aaron, great. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. All right, coming up, are the Seahawks going to get better than an expected deal than we expected to re-sign Jadeveon Clowney? Many people are saying that's the way it's looking. We'll see what the professor thinks about that. He joins us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.